Every now and then, there's that feeling that just sort of creeps up from the background of our lives where we may think to ourselves, I have just gotten into a rut. And by that, I do not mean to imply that the ruts of our lives, those lanes that move us in the direction we are headed, the patterns and habits of our days, the routines of our everyday living, are somehow negative, that they are largely positive. They connect us to our work and faith in meaningful ways. But on the other hand, they are also unable to encompass everything that matters in our lives. So sometimes we have to get out of a rut instead of staying in one. More than a handful of years ago, I first heard the term quarter life crisis. It's a spinoff of a midlife crisis, not where you go out and buy a hot red Corvette, but somewhere in your 20s, that you look up and question the direction of your life. That after years of studying and preparation, of moving in one certain direction, looking towards when real life begins, you finally graduate, clock into the workforce, but it's not quite what you imagined. That life does not always live up to our expectations. That it could be that we have lost sight of our passion for what matters the most. Or it might be that we face a dilemma that leaves us stuck in our tracks. It could be the weight and stress of responsibility, or the fear of failing to live up to it, and we just want to shed ourselves of some of those things. Or perhaps we confront for the first time those flimsy if-then statements of life, that if we always do what we are supposed to do, then everything always works out, that obstacles just get out of our way. Or if we tend to what is important, then our dreams will always be fulfilled. There will never be a curveball. Or if we make faith a priority, then life will make our well-being a priority, never having to struggle too hard. But the longer we live, the more we realize life does not follow the if-then statements. And we cry out like the psalmist does, saying, how can I sing of the Lord's song in a foreign land, when all that we anticipated and expected does not become fulfilling? That the psalmist is talking about the people of God living in exile, where they are literally removed from the place where they live, surrounded by everything that reinforces what is valuable and meaningful in their lives, and they are taken to live in a foreign land where their expectations are shattered, and they look around asking themselves, what does a life of faith mean now? How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? That the letter to the Colossians is about this type of crisis, that those that the letter is written to find themselves wondering, what is the purpose of the church? That they had given themselves to a life of faith, but it did not live up to what they expected. And now this letter is trying to reinvigorate them, that they have faced new questions. And now they are asking, why are we doing what we are doing? Or they do not understand that if we tried to do what we were called to do, why is it still so difficult? Or they have looked around and felt how futile their efforts have been to combat the world's evils. And they have lost sight of the purpose of the church. And on top of all of this, in the background of the life of the church during this time, a view of the world has emerged called Gnosticism. If it's ever on the spelling bee, it starts with a silent G. This view of the world sees everything that is material, everything that we can put our hands on, our flesh and bone, and the world around us as evil. That faith is only about the spiritual, what we cannot see. So faith, as a result, is about escaping this world, running away from it, or pulling back from it. And if we look at the headlines around us, we do not have to look far to find evidence for this argument. And it takes the ostrich approach to life to find a hole and put your head in it to escape this world. The problem, though, is that Jesus takes a very different approach. That Jesus comes embracing this world. We even speak of the Word became flesh. So everything material cannot be evil. That our faith cannot be about escaping this world. Instead, it's about engaging it in new ways. Seeking out the kingdom of God in it. So the writer of Colossians tries to reinvigorate the church by asking it to return to the life of Jesus, because he is the image of the invisible God. That all of creation was created through Christ. Christ restores this world. It's about a love for all of creation as a gift from God. And so many of those things, we think that the writer of Colossians was quoting an early hymn in the church, that those things were sung by the early church, which makes sense because singing our faith has always lifted our souls out of the ruts of our lives, giving us perspective and a new direction. In many ways, the expectations we have for our lives are similar to how we plan a dinner party. That we want everything to be perfect, to measure up, that the table has to look like something out of Pinterest, that we want the chicken not to be overcooked, the kids not to misbehave, the conversation to be engaging, so that when company leaves, they think we've got it all together. And the problem isn't when things don't go according to plan. The problem is that even when they do, it can still seem unfulfilling. On the other hand, sometimes things don't go according to plan, and we can sit there around the table and reminisce with family or friends, laughing for hours, and it is more meaningful than we could have ever imagined. And Martha knows this quite well. Because Jesus came to Mary in Martha's house, and she was busy in the kitchen checking off that list that we all check off when company comes over. But Jesus came to her and said, "Please, just pause. Come and sit. Because there are other things to consider that sometimes we find the sacred outside of our expectations. That we can become distracted by even good things. And at times we need to return to the life of Jesus to discover again the awe and mystery of God sending us out into this world in new directions. That the book of Colossians calls us to revisit the life of Jesus, embracing this world again, not trying to escape it. And Celtic spirituality calls these moments thin places where the separation from earth and heaven seems rather thin, and we brush up against God's Spirit. That any time we are unsure the direction in which we are going, we can return to the life of Jesus and discover God's grace in the world around us, not because we planned it that way, but because we are given eyes to see it. Now, I know, I was thinking it as well, that the answer, return to the life of Jesus, sounds like one of those Sunday school answers where no matter what question you ask, the answer is always Jesus. I don't mean it that way. It is not meant to be an easy answer to life's hardest questions. But it is one answer to one question. That where does our passion, conviction, and perseverance come from, and how does it direct us to embrace the world in front of us? Because we can return to the stories of the Gospels time and time again, hearing again what Jesus says and watching closely what Jesus does, and we will discover it is not always the Jesus we remember. That Jesus can continue to surprise us again, giving us more to think about and more to ponder, and changing who we are slowly over time. That those stories of the gospel are life-giving, sending us out in new directions to engage this world with the grace of God. Amen.